Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
I'm Judy. I am a compulsive overeater. And, I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for 42 and a half years. I came in when I was 30 years old. Now I'm 73. I've been a compulsive overeater my whole life, always. You know, I hear people sometimes say food is my drug of choice. Food was my drug of no choice. I had no choice in the matter. It chose me. And I have always wanted more. I've always been a person that was into quantity over quality. That hasn't changed. I eat healthy now. I've been abstinent, thank you, God, for a very long time. And I love Overeaters Anonymous. I cannot imagine how I would have gotten through the last 40 years of my life without this program, because my life didn't really go the way that I wanted in some ways or thought that it would. I'm single. I've never had children. That's a huge disappointment in my life. On the other hand, I have a fabulous nephew who's 27 years old, and he's the kid I never had. So many things have changed. Anyway, so let me back up. My mom had me on diets from the time I was 13. And I really believe the only reason I came into OA at around 205 pounds instead of 305 pounds or more was that my mom had me on TAB, Sweet and Low, Weight Watchers, imitation banana ice, milk, all that stuff from the minute they were invented. I don't think I've ever tasted a real Coke with sugar in it, you know? I was always on diet stuff. You know, I was very, very fortunate. I've had a good life. You know, I went through my life pretty successfully. I'm from a two-parent household. My parents loved me. My mother was obsessed with my size, but a lot of that was because she thought I would feel better about myself, you know, if I was thinner. There were any number of things my mother thought that I would feel better about myself if I did. One of them was I had my nose fixed when I was 16. You know, she thought, again, it would help my self-esteem. You know, I don't know that it did, but I have a great nose now. But, you know, I always was pretty successful in my life. I had good jobs. I had relationships. I've always had wonderful friends, but I always felt like I had this terrible secret about what I did with food. And I really, really believed I was a bad person. For me, it was definitely a moral issue. And what I've learned in OA is that I'm not a bad person trying to become good. I'm a person with a disease trying to get and stay well and healthy. So I was a teacher for most of my career. And I had the opportunity to teach overseas for a while in the 70s when I was in my 20s. And then I got a job in New Jersey for several years. And nothing against the East Coast, but I'm a Westerner. I was brought up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I really missed the West. And I gained a whole lot of weight when I was living back East. So I went to this one meeting. Someone told me about. I went to an OA meeting in New Jersey. It wasn't even in a church. It was in a school. And they asked me my name. I said, my name is Judy. And they said, hi, Judy. I thought it was like the invasion of the body snatchers or something. I really did. I left after the newcomers meeting. You know, they talked about God. They said a prayer. You know, I've been brought up Jewish. I thought it was a Christian cult. You know, I really did. And then I got a great job in San Francisco because I thought the problem was that I was living back East. And so I moved, couldn't get farther west than San Francisco. And within 3 months, I gained like 35 pounds. So, you know, so much for that theory. A cousin of mine who lived in San Francisco at the time told me he lost a lot of weight. And I thought he lost it in a pan way. And he said, no, he lost it in OA. And in fact, he started OA meetings in Israel. Well, that made it okay for me to go. And he told me, don't worry about the Lord's Prayer. Because at that time in 1981, you know, that's how we ended meetings, with the Lord's Prayer. And although I didn't know that the prayer had the word bread in it, I always thought it was give us this day our daily strength, because that's what we said in San Francisco. So I thought that's the way the prayer had been written. Anyway, he told me, don't worry about the Lord's Prayer. It's an old Jewish prayer. They just borrowed it. So, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but it didn't matter, because I went to a meeting the very next night. I went, it was President's Day of 1981 when I went to the meeting that counted. And I've never left since then. I grabbed the very first person who raised their hand when they asked for sponsors. And I started calling my food into her the very next day. And she asked me what I binged on. I told her. And she said, it sounds like you have a problem with sugar and flour. And that was, you know, before they were talking about food allergies and all that kind of stuff. So I'd never even heard that idea. And like I said, I always thought I was a failure because I couldn't make Weight Watchers work. Well, there were foods that you could eat on Weight Watchers that trigger my addiction. I'm a real low-bottom compulsive overeater. Anyway, so I started following a food plan that eliminated starches other than two fruit servings a day. That's what I did back then. And I've been really fortunate. I've never had to pick up those foods again. I can't say that, you know, my abstinence is super, super wonderful and you know, every single day, but it works. I started working the steps a little while after that with that cousin who, he was my first step sponsor. And I was really lucky because I had the gift of desperation. You know, desperate works. I really think so. And when I got to the fourth step, I didn't understand that at all, because I didn't understand that I ever had a part in anything. I always thought that I was a victim, you know? I reacted to what people did to me and around me. So he said, just take the seven deadly sins and write about your experience with each one. That was my first fourth step. You know, it was all I could do at the time, and so it counted. Anyway, I knew, like my eyes were brown, that I'd never be able to keep weight off, lose it and keep it off. And I was wrong. A lot of other things in my brain and my heart started to change as well. I started listening to suggestions that other people made, you know, and many of the suggestions in OA are things like, you know, well, if you jump out of an airplane, we suggest you wear a parachute. That's kind of the way I took a lot of the suggestions in this program. I only went to OA to lose weight. I did not go to OA to find a spiritual connection with the higher power. But I did. I was, like I said, I'm so lucky. That's one of the biggest changes of attitude I have had in this program. I always was very aware of what I didn't have in my life. And I don't feel that way anymore. Basically, I'm a very grateful person. I always thought that sounded really corny, but it's totally true. I write at least 5 things I'm grateful for every single day. And I thank the higher power all the time. I thank God if I'm driving and I get to a corner and the light turns green, that's a thank you, God. Anyway, I lost a whole lot of weight fast. But after some time, I started slipping with the foods that I was eating. I was eating too much. I was eating in between meals sometimes, that kind of stuff. And that went on from time to time. And in 1984, when I was in Europe for a couple of months, I found myself having to get off of one of those cool red double-decker buses because I had to get something to eat. That was a real bottom for me. A day or so later, I was in a theater in London. And, London has, hundreds and hundreds of theaters, right? Well, during the intermission, I ran into a woman that I knew from San Francisco, OA, which is where I started in OA, when I was living in San Francisco. She had a very strong program. What are the chances? Well, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. She was there for just this most, what I thought was the most amazing reason. She actually was, at the time, she was Al Pacino's cook, and he was doing American Buffalo in London. So she was in London as his cook. So we hung out some, I remember going over to where they were staying and thinking, this is Al Pacino's coffee cup? Oh my God, It's funny what you remember. Anyway, so many things have changed. When I started what I consider my current abstinence, that was August 18th of 1984. So I've been very, very fortunate. So much has changed. I really have had a spiritual awakening, which is a change of attitude. And that's what is promised in the 12 step. Every time I've worked them, one of the changes in me is now I find myself saying sometimes, you may be right. I never used to be able to admit I was wrong about something. I don't have a problem with that now. I was never a very good listener. I was always thinking about what I was going to say. And that's changed too. I really can listen now and not interrupt. Well, most of the time. I am much better about minding my own business, which is not always easy. I have a much younger sister. I was in high school when she was born. And so for many years, of course, I thought I was the expert and had to tell her, how to live her life. Well, she's had a successful marriage for almost, 30 something years. She's the mom of the wonderful nephew that I have. She's done great. She didn't need me to tell her what to do. One of the most profound changes that occurred for me is that when I realized I was no longer resentful towards my brother. My brother was only 18 months younger than me, and I resented him terribly for most of my life. It took years, but it happened. And he actually, he just died on July 20th, I guess. And he was in Arizona, and I went down there and saw him before he died, and it was totally clean. I mean, that's a miracle. And he was so happy that I was there. What a gift from God. Anyway, my higher power definitely has a sense of humor. I'm very aware of that, and I'm very grateful for that. In terms of my experience in OA with sponsors, I have lost count of how many sponsors I've had. I remember one sponsor while I was living in San Francisco, she fired me because she said I was too needy. I remember that. I am currently actually working with a co-sponsor, which has been an interesting experience. And we're very, very different. And then that's just fine. And, you know, we're just about to start doing the steps again through the new 12-step workbook. Well, relatively new workbook, the purple one. So I really have to keep up with this program because I need it. I need it desperately. There's so much that I love in this program. I love the promises. I totally remember sitting at my dining room table in San Francisco early on in my program. I was crying my eyes out. I have no idea what I was crying about, but I was crying. And I was listening to someone, and she was reading the promises to me as I sat there at the table. They bring so much comfort. I love it. And I love the big book. That's what I mean when I say my higher power is a sense of humor. Like I said, at first I thought it was written by a group of old Christian white men. And I love that book. And I can identify with so much of it. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I've never been an alcoholic. I never was going to waste my calories on something I couldn't chew. So I was never really much interested in alcohol or drink. But, I love this program so much. I heard a speaker once, and he said the coolest thing. He said he was happy, joyous, and free. I wrote this down because it was a good connection for me. As you get older, I don't know about you guys, but I'm losing the words of things I want. It's God. Anyway, happy means freedom from fear. Joyous means living in gratitude. And free meant freedom from obsession. And that's been my experience. As long as I continue working the steps, stay in touch with other compulsive overeaters as friends, sponsors, sponsees, I use the tools. I go to a lot of meetings. I'm so grateful for Zoom. I have some people that I know in program who don't like Zoom meetings. I think it's wonderful. I'm just extraordinarily grateful to have all these meetings to be able to attend all over the place. I mean, I've been to meetings in London, and one of my favorite meetings is a Rhode Island meeting, and it happens at 4:30 my time, Sacramento time. On Wednesdays and Fridays. That's a nice, great time for a meeting. And I feel like I know so many of these people now that I've never met face to face, but they're honest and they tell the truth and they share what's real for them. I spent my whole life trying to fill up that
3 minutes.
What? Three. Perfect. Thank you. Trying to fill up that hole, an insatiable hole. And it's filled, I have to grab whatever iota of willingness I have sometimes, because if I waited until I really wanted to do something, whether it's program related, whether it's work at home, whatever it is, I got to grab it, because otherwise I wouldn't accomplish much at all. So, and like I said, my life did not go really how I thought or in some ways hoped it would, but I have a great life. I'm so fortunate. I remember in college looking for a spiritual connection. I went to a lot of different kind of churches and groups, but I never really found one until I was in Overeaters Anonymous. The last quote I have written down at the bottom here is I heard someone say, surrender is moving over to the winning side. And that's how I feel. That's what I feel about Overeaters Anonymous. I think it's the winning side. And I don't have another stop in me. I don't believe that I do. So I take it very seriously. And, you know, I do my best in this program. I pray every day. I meditate. I write. I talk to people. I sponsor. Yeah. I just, this program is basically the guidelines of my life. And it's miraculous. It's a total gift from God. I absolutely believe that. So with that, I'm going to close. Thanks.